What do you think? Wiz tomorrow night? We don't want to see this team start 0-25, Samuel.
Well, Randy Whitman is actually a friend of mine. He coached me, and I feel my heart goes out to him because that's tough, man. But I tell you what, you're right. I was listening to you guys talk. If they don't beat Portland, coming off that long road, that long flight from Portland to Washington, D.C., if they don't win tomorrow, it's going to be tough. Because listening at their schedule ahead of them, you know they're not going to beat New York. They're not going to beat Miami. See, this is the problem now. Every team is looking at them over, and they're saying, we can't be the team to lose to them. We can't lose to Washington. So teams now are not only going to be up for them, they're going to play hard. Think about it. Portland Trail Blazers is going to be sitting there saying, okay, it's as if the Los Angeles Lakers are like they're going in L.A. to play the Lakers saying, we got to play our best game. And so they're thinking right now, we don't want to be that team that Washington beat first.
And we're not really seeing, to me, the real NBA yet in the East. John Wall injury, of course that affects him. Buying him out for the Sixers, maybe a long-term injury. Minnesota just got Kevin Love back. It's been a lot of off-season injuries that are preventing us from seeing the best players, hasn't there?
Yeah, it has been, but some of these injuries have been weird. Now, I don't know exactly how John Wall got hurt, but, you know, when you look at Andrew Bynum's situation and that he waited 3 weeks, you know, my whole thing is he waited 3 weeks before training camp to go have this surgery. And then you look at Kevin Love, he broke his hand doing, what, knuckle push-ups? I mean, some of these guys and some of their training methods is freaking me out. Whatever happened just the old-fashioned way of training, going in the weight room, lifting weights, and then going outside to a track and running. But, you know, when you hire these trainers, they got to figure out a way to make you, to justify charging you thousands of dollars to get you in shape.
Sam, we had an incident the other night with the Raptors where Andrea Bargnani was 2-for-19 from the floor. Dwayne Casey decided to keep him in, thinking he would get out of the slump in the game. As a coach, I mean, is it a better strategy to pull the cold player off the floor and put someone in the bench, or do you keep riding him thinking he'll get out of it?
Well, if that's your best player, and Andrea arguably is between he and DeMar DeRozan as their best players, who do you go to? I mean, it's one thing if the guy, Ed Davis, was in the game and he was 7-for-9 or something like that playing great, then maybe you would consider it. But at the end of the day, guys, your best player, the guy that your horse, you got to leave him out there and ride him. And sometimes you do it even though you know the guy may not come out of it, but you do it to build something in him. You know, what Dwayne Casey probably was trying to do, if he understood Andrea was struggling, that was obvious, but leave him out there, let him go through the struggle, let him go through the embarrassment. Sometimes the best teacher is self-taught when you embarrass yourself like that, going 2-for-whatever, and then it makes you a better player down the road because now you lock in, you focus, and you understand that if I don't get my stuff together, things can get worse.
Are you of the same mind a lot of people are seemingly now are at with Bargnani, is that this is what he is. He'll have a big game some nights. He will have a bad game the next night. He will not ever be a stellar defender. He will never be an all-star. But you know what? I mean, we've debated this and we've talked about this with you before. Other than LaMarcus Aldridge, there weren't many other places for your team to go in that particular draft that year.
Think about that, guys. I mean, look, you had LaMarcus Aldridge, and he's had some health problems, but when he's healthy, he's played well. You had Brandon Roy. You see how that turned out.
Yeah.
And so if you look at that draft, it was kind of like just unlucky for the Raptors. You know, we finally get a number one pick, and, you know, I'm not going to say unlucky, but, you know, those were the guys, the best players on the board at the time. And Andrea has the ability to be really good. The question is, can he be a consummate all-star? And that seems to be the question. I mean, he can be, look, to average 17, 18 points a game in the NBA is a good thing. But the question is, Andrea needs to become a more consistent scorer. He needs to become shoot a better field goal percentage. You know, a lot of guys can score 18 points if they're shooting the ball 23, 24 times a game. But the thing is, you want that field goal percentage up around the high 40s. And if he's going to be a three-point shooter, it's got to be in the high 30s or low 40s. It can't be 28%. You know, I can come back and shoot 28%. So Andrea's just got to keep working, and he needs to concentrate. If I was Andrea, I would stop worrying about the scoring. I would worry about my defense and my rebounding. And when you worry about the other parts of your game, then the parts of your game that are strong, they will come around and you will get back to what you normally should be.
It's amazing, with the number one pick, Sam. Tim Duncan, Allen Iverson go back-to-back in 96 and 97. And before that, Joe Smith. After that, Michael Olowokandi. Like, you just never know. You never know.
Well, think about it, guys. If Andrea averages 18, 19 points a game, you can't say that he hadn't had a good season. You know, they're struggling right now. He's struggling a little bit. But the reason he's struggling, and what Andrea has to understand, is when people look at your roster, they look at him and DeMar DeRozan as the best player. And so he has to understand that, look, you are targeted. You're a game plan. When I play the Raptors, I'm looking at, I got to make sure I stop Andrea Bargnani. I got to make him shoot a bad percentage, and I got to stop DeMar DeRozan. And so that's why these guys don't understand. Every summer, your game got to get better because you are the guy. You are the guy that we're looking at saying we're going to shut down. We're not going to let him have a big night. And so once he understands that, then your work, you get better in all season. That's what these young players today don't understand. You don't get better when the season starts. You get better in all season.
Is the NBA even more excited and even didn't realize how much the Brooklyn-New York rivalry is? Because it seems like the not just Brooklyn being there, but how good they are and really pushing the Knicks and pushing the Eastern Conference has really made it exciting in the Eastern Conference.
Well, guys, first of all, you just look at the team. You know they're good. You know, Brook Lopez, well, he has some deficiencies when it comes to defensive rebound. But as far as scoring, for a big guy, he's one of the better big men scorers in the league. And then you know, Joe Johnson, who's been an all-star. I mean, Darren Williams, who's an all-star. So you look at their roster, and then you look at they got a good coach in Avery Johnson. Brooklyn's going to be there. I think that has the potential to be one of those bitter, hated rivalries. Guys, think about something. If Brooklyn was a city, if Brooklyn was a state, it would be like the fourth or fifth largest state in the United States of America. So there's a lot of people there. There's a lot of people who are passionate about Brooklyn. And you got your New York Knicks diehard fans. That series has a chance to be, over the course of the year, just a bitter rivalry and a hated rivalry, which will be good for the NBA.
Before you go, Sam, no Derrick Rose yet for the Chicago Bulls. Are you worried about how they look without him? We know they're going to look different with him, but there's still some pretty damn good basketball players there, and they're a game under 500. Should they be?
Yeah, they should be worried, guys. I mean, look, the best they can ask for until Derrick Rose gets back is to be 500.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about MVP of the league 1 year. You're not going to replace him. And Tom Thibodeau did a great job last year with him being out winning games. But now teams are game planning for Chicago without Derrick Rose. So guess what that means? That means Luol Deng and some of these other guys are going to get that attention. So where it used to be Derrick Rose getting all the attention, now it's Luol Deng and those other guys, and they're finding out like everybody else. And see, guys always say that. Everybody want to be a star. But everybody can't play up to this level that a star does, because a star is game planned for every single night.
Sam, so enjoyable having you on. How's the radio show going? How's it going? Because we want to know.
Guys, let me tell you something. What I discovered in radio is that you guys got the easiest job in
I know.
The world. It's like free money. It's just standing in line.
Yeah, but it's not very much free money. That's the whole point.
No, that's the problem. Unless you're Howard Stern or Rush Limbaugh, then I'll tell you what. After you do your show, you should go out and stand on the sidewalk with a 10
Listen,
cup.
Hey,
we do that.
I watched some of the games I saw some players on your bench getting free money. Juan Dixon got free money, Sam. Come on. Todd McCullough got free money from the Sixers 10 years ago. Come on.
Well, you know what? It's hard to argue about that.